Okay, good day, everybody, and welcome to the Motzei Shabbos Shir for Parshas Shemos. Hope you hear me okay. Towards the beginning of the Seder, we find in the second parak, Moshe Rabbeinu grows up a little bit. He's raised, of course, in the house of Paro, raised by Paro's daughter, but then he goes out to see what's going on with his brethren, his fellow Jews, and the Pasuk says in the first of the sources, Shmos Parag Beis, Pasuk de Gimel, the day after he saw an Egyptian beating a Jew, and he killed that Egyptian. The next day he comes out, he says, it says in the Torah, Moshe came out again another day, two Hebrews, two Jews, two members of Bnei Yisrael are fighting with each other. Exactly who they were is not clear. Chazal say it was Dosan Aviram, were always causing trouble. Anyway, they were in this type of a quarrel. And it says in the Pasuk, Vayomer Larosha Lama Sakereachon. Moshe says to one of them, he says, why are you going to hit your friend? Lama Sakere, why are you going to hit your friend? So it's interesting. He calls him a Rosha. And the Rashi is Medayik in the name of Chazal. We'll see it appears in a couple of different places. Rashi says, what do you mean Lama Sakere? Sakere is Lashon Osid. Sakere is the future. So why will you hit? Why are you going to hit? Sounds like it hasn't hit him yet. So Rashi comments in Parag Beis Pasuk Gimel, source 2, Lama Sakeh Afal Pi Shelo Hiko, even though he didn't hit him yet, Nikra Rosh HaBaharomas Yad, the fact that he simply raised his hand to strike the other person, that already is enough to qualify him as a Rosha. That's why, even though he hadn't yet hit him, but he was about to hit him, you know, he was drawing his fist or he was pulling back his hand or whatever, just raising his hand against somebody else, that's already enough to qualify the person who's doing this as a Rosha. That's why he says, Lama Sakera, Loshan Asi. Rashi gets this from Gemara in Sanhedrin, the third source, of Nun Ches Mabeis, Amrish Lokish, Hamagbia Yodo Al Chavero, somebody just raises his hand against somebody else, Afopi Shalom Hiko, even if you hit him yet, Nikra Rosha, just the threatening gesture, the violent gesture, that's enough to label him as a Rosha. Shanema, our Pasuk, Lama Rosha, Lama Sekarecha, Lama Hikisa, Lama, it doesn't say, why did you hit him? Ela Lama Sake, Afopi Shalom Hiko, Nikra Rosha, that's the Gemara's thing, Rosh Lopish. And the Gemara says, not only that, but Ziri Omar Chanina, Nikra Chote, not only called the Rosha, you're also called the Chote, and it quotes Psukim, Shanema, Lola Kachti, and that's a pasuk in the Shmuel Aleph and Perek Beis. I printed the psukim down below. Rashi, essentially, Rashi says in Molokachti, just a moment, yeah, Molokachti bechazoka. If you're not going to bechazoka, they're referring to the Bnei Eli. Eli was among the last of the Shoftim. Eli HaKohen. Fortunately, Eli HaKohen had two sons, Hofni and Pinchas, who were scoundrels. Who did not follow his path, and they used to. Unfortunately, they abused people, physically abused people, who brought karbanos. So you look in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, Psukim Tesvav through Yud Zayin, printed in Source 5. Okay, we don't have to spend great time reading it, but it's interesting to know, in B'terem Yaktun as a Chelev, right, even before people brought karbanos and so on, Avon Nar HaKohen, Barmali Shavech Tanov also, they wanted the meat, and the meat was expensive, and then they wanted the meat from the karbanos, and they asked for it even before the person brought the carbon, and the person would respond, well, wait till I bring the carbon, and so on, to the end of Pasuk Design, Barmalo Lokia Tot Hitain Bivlo Lokachti Bechosko. I'm going to take it by force. So they forced people to give up things that they weren't ready to give up in the context of karbanos. That's what's going on over there. And Pasuk Yud Zayin there in Shmuel Aleph Perek Beis, source 5, the last Pasuk, it says, "Vati chatas hanarim gedola ma'o." This play Hashem, kinyatu anashim es mincha Hashem. This avera, this hate was considered very great. So getting back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Ches Meis, the Gemara derives from here. So he says, "You're also called a chote because the chatas hanarim, the sin, the transgression." The fact that they threaten people, even though they say, I'm going to take it by force, right? So then that's enough. Just a threatening gesture is enough, as if you're going to hit somebody, even if you didn't hit him yet. Not only called the Rosh, you called the Chote. Then the Gemara says on the third line of Source 3, same Gemara in Sanhedrin and Ches Major, Huno Amar, Tikot Sei Chado, you deserve to have your hand chopped off. And the Gemara actually says, Shemar Uzroa Roma Tishaber. That's a Pasuk in Eo, printed in Source 6, Parak Lamed Ches, Pasuk Tezvog, Uzroa Roma. Zorah means the arm, hand lifted up. Tishare, he should break his hand. He should cut his hand off. And the Gemara says, Rabhuna Kotel, he actually did it once to somebody. Sometimes medicine can, rather than Rashi, third Rashi in Source 4, and Zeran Sanhedrin, Mechesa Meis, Kot Yodam, Adam Echot, Shere Rogil HaKos, his Chavero. The person was always beating other people, so they gave him a knas. And sometimes Bezin can take the law into their hands, even though it's not exactly what it says in the Torah, not our topic now, but that's certainly what you deserve. And then the Gemara concludes there in Sanhedrin, Mechesa Meis, back in 3. Rabbi Lezer Omer Ein Lo Takana El Kvura Shenemar Ve'Izor Lo Haaretz, and the only Takana of the person is when he's buried, when he's dead. because the Yisro Alo Haaretz. That's another pasuk in Eov in source 7, Parakov Bey's pasuk Ches. The Yisro Alo Haaretz. Someone who's, you know, whose hand is tough and so on belongs in the ground, in the land. Okay. So obviously, even just raising your hand, making threatening gestures to other people, that's enough to label a person Rasha, perhaps a Chote, and the other things the Gemara there mentioned. We mentioned a couple other places, Medrash here in our pasuk in Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Aleph Simon Chav Test 8. The moment the person lifts his hand to attack somebody else, even though he didn't actually hit him yet, the Nikra Rosh is already called a Rosh. So that's what emerges from this pasuk. Same thing in the Medrash Tanchuma elsewhere in the Chumash in Parshas Korach in Osches 9. It says, Shonar Abosenu Arboa Nikra Rishayim. The different categories of people who are called Rishayim. And one of them is, Elohim, one of them is a poshe, Yodel Lachaber Lachoso. So you stick out your hand to hit somebody else. Afa Bishalikor Nikra Rosh, Nimar, our pasuk, Lama Rosh, Lama Sakerecha, Hikis Lama Elosake. Okay, so you're labeled already a Rosh just by threatening to hit somebody. What if you actually did hit somebody? Does it say anywhere in the Chumash you're not allowed to hit somebody? So you could say, well, it's a Kabbal Chomer. If you're not allowed to even raise your hand against somebody called the Rosh, so what about actually striking somebody, actually hitting someone? So actually, it's not, as at least initially, as clear as it might be, a specific prohibition to hit somebody, but there are Tukim and Parshas Kisetze, in source number 10, Dvarim Perakof Hei. This is talking about the job of the Bezdin to sometimes administer Malkus. There are numerous prohibitions in the Torah, which we know that if you violate, you get lashes. When the days of the Bezdin, they would administer Malkus. Okay, and it says there in the Pasuk, Perakof Hei, Pasuk Bezdin Dvarim, 10, Bahaya and Bin Hakos Harosho. But if the person is determined by Bezin, it's been determined that he's deserving of getting Malkos, lashes, the Pilo HaShofer, Yikilafonav, Kadei Rishasol B'Mispar, you have to give him the number of lashes based on the exact number. And what is that number? Pasuk Gimel, Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosi, no more than 40, and then Gemara figures out it. And Maseches Malkos, 39. Okay, actually, it's not always 39 either. It depends really, but it says Lo Yosi, no more than that. Pen Yosi, Blakos, Alei, Malka Rabba, V'Niklo Achicha L'Necha. If you give more, the guy could drop dead from getting all these malchus. Actually, based on that, the Gemara figures out that there would be a physician, there would be a doctor, would be in the employ of the Bezdin to physically assess a person. How many, let's say, of an old, fragile person, you're going to give him 39 malchus, they're going to kill him. Okay, so figure out what's the doctors would make an assessment. What's the maximum number of lashes this person can tolerate without, you know, get punished, but without dying? You know, we're not talking about here a capital offense for which he's deserving of death. So whatever Averi did, there are a whole bunch of errors, over 200 Averis, which you get, I think 207, I forgot what the exact number is, but if you get Malkus for doing these Averis, so the physician would determine how much, to the best of their ability, how much a person could take. There has to be multiples of three, whatever it is. But the bottom line is the Pasuk says, Arboim Yakenu Lo Yosef. Okay, you're not allowed to add more than that. Panyosi, because you might you might end up killing the person. So Rashi, there in Chumash, in Parshas Kisetze, in source number 11, okay, there in Parakof Hei, Zohar, and Pasuk Gimel, Lo Yosef, says Rashi, Mikan Azhara Lemakes Chavero. That's the source for, in general, you're not allowed to hit somebody else, even though it's not what the Pesukim are talking about. The Pesukim are talking about the Bezdin administering Malkus just to a Rosh, the person who's done whatever Avera makes him deserving of Malkus. But still, says Rashi, Mikan Azhara, Lemaka Es Chavero. And the Gemara, it's also based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, a different Gemara in Sanhedrin, is on Daf Pei Hei Amud Aleph, source 12. The Gemara works it out. Right? When Bezin administer Malkus, that's a mitzvah. That's the job of Bezin. They're doing what they're supposed to do. They're doing what the Torah says, that for certain averes, you get lashes. But beyond the requisite number, whatever that is, maximum 39, whatever the number is, you do one more, then the Bezin is in violation. That's even though in general it's a mitzvah to give this guy lashes, to beat this guy, but to give him more than the requisite amount, that's not allowed. So then, Misha Eino Mitzvah Kosa, Eino Din Shem Mitzvah Shal Lakosa. So the Gemara works out. If the Bezdin is warned or told you're not allowed to give more than the maximum number, you know, generally 39 makas, not allowed to give more than that, you give one more, and you also, that's already a violation. So then certainly a regular person to hit somebody else even once is also a violation. Even the Bezdin, when it's a mitzvah to do it, are limited. And if they do more, they're in violation. So certainly a regular person is in violation, but there's no mitzvah. Then a little bit later, the Gemara says, well, something, umaba mako mitzvah, shemitzvah lakosa, mitzvah lakosa, shalom mako mitzvah, shena mitzvah lakosa, ena din shemitzvah shalom lakosa. The same idea. Okay, that sometimes, and Rash explains it to them, something like that. And so therefore, if Bezdin are not allowed to give more, then the requisite number of Malkus, and if you do, you're even though it's a mitzvah, you're involved in a mitzvah, but they're not allowed to do it. So too, certainly a private person not to hit somebody even once. So that's the din. So from those psukim is where we derive the notion that it's not allowed to, you're not allowed to hit somebody, because even the bezdin is not allowed, we're doing a mitzvah, carrying out the responsibility, not allowed to hit somebody more than X number of times. There is a passage in the Sefer Chassidim, Yudah Chassid 14, Simon Memtes, based on our pasuk here in Parsha Shmos. They didn't hit him yet. Like we said. And then again, Sefer Chassidim takes it further. Somebody who hits another person, it's like you hit the Kadosh Baruch Hu himself. And so on. It's like you hit the Shekhinah, as it were. Okay, and that's why you deserve to have your hand cut off. You beat another person, like beating the Shekhinah. Okay, and therefore, Velachain, and the third line of 14 there in Sefer Chassidim, it's in Mentes. Not against a man, lo al isha, ain't tanim, ain't no, doesn't matter if the kid's little kid or it's an older person. Unless it's giving a patch to a child, the trainer will come back to that a little bit. But other than that, it's not allowed even with a child. And he writes, think in your heart, says the Sefer Chassidim, think in your mind. That just like we know that a person who marries two wives, right? Kisha nosa shtei noshim sharabat hakonotum no gershom. We know that in Ashkenazi communities around the year 1000, Rabbi Noger Shomar Agola pronounced a harem on polygamy. To Jews, even according to the Torah, a man can have more than one wife. A wife can't have more than one husband, but a man can have more than one wife. But Rabbi Noger Shom, more than 1,000 years ago, passed the legislation that it was accepted in the Ashkenazi communities, ultimately accepted all over. Now, they're not allowed to have, we don't permit polygamy, or allow more than one wife. So we all know about the harem of Rabbi Noger Shom. It's the same as he himself, just like a person who violates that, chutzif and so on and so forth, you should put him in cherem. So here too, this type of error, somebody who hits somebody else or even threatens somebody else, we should put him into cherem as well. Okay, you look in the Rambam, source 15, Hilchos Chov L'Mazik Perakei Halacha Aleph, Osur L'Odom Lachol, a person can't cause actual damage to a physical damage to another person, Bein Ba'atzmo, Bein B'chaveru. Not allowed to do it to another person, and not allowed to do it to yourself either. You're not allowed to physically harm yourself either. It's an important point. You're not allowed to cause any physical damage to yourself either. We don't permit, let's say, in some cultures when somebody dies, so the relatives cut the skin of the other people, the cut or something, and the other times people mutilate their own body. We'll see how that's relevant a little bit later. But anyway, you're not allowed to do that either because it's not your body, strictly speaking. Your body is on loan to you for however long you're on this earth, but you can't do whatever you want to it. A couple of years ago, on the first year of my father, Olav Shalom, my father was an English professor, he taught Shakespeare, so I talked about the famous play of Shakespeare, The Merchant of Venice. So those who remember The Merchant of Venice, the villain in the play was a Jew named Shylock. There's a whole question that springs from this, was Shakespeare an anti-Semite, or was just reflecting what was in the culture? You know, not a topic now, but anyway. So in this particular play, those who remember, the Jewish moneylender, his name was Shylock, lent money to an Italian, Antonius in Venice, this merchant of Venice, and he said if you don't pay back by a certain day, you have to pay back a pound of flesh. So the rest of the play is a whole story in the courtroom, how they figured out what he has to pay. So they concluded he does have to pay a pound of flesh, but it has to be exactly 1 pound. He can't take any blood. He can't take other things. And in fact, he couldn't do it. Okay, it's not a Shakespeare lesson here, but that's the play. So Rav Zevin, Shlomo Zevin, was a great Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael in the mid-1900s. He's one who founded the idea of the Encyclopedia Talmudis, right? The yellow volumes are about to publish their 50th volume Nun, up to volume Nun, because volume Nun is being presented in honor of Rabbi Shechter and having a whole ceremony this coming week, but it's a seminar at Israel. Anyway, so Zevin was the one who founded the concept of the whole idea and started the Encyclopedia Talmudis, and he wrote others for him too, Amor Malacha. He also wrote a sefer called the Orha Halacha, which has some chapters, essays on off-the-beaten-path topics. And the last chapter, the last essay in this sefer, Lora Halacha, is called Mishpat Shylock. And he discusses what a Bezdin would do if such a case came before a Bezdin. How would a Bezdin assess, you know, the halachic ramifications of such a case? Anyway, if you're interested, I can tell you how to access it to that shiur. But anyway, what Rav Zevin concludes is, based on his Rambam and other sources, that it's actually, you can't, the whole deal is off because you have no right to say, I'll take a pound of flesh. You can't put your own body, your own flesh up for, you know, for collateral because not yours. Okay. Anyway, that's this Rambam. Source 15, Chovel Amazik, Perik Hey, Halacha Aleph. And not only below hachovel b'vad, not just actually causing damage, but afilu elakol amaka adam koshim Yisrael. Anyone who hits somebody, even though it don't cause any lasting damage, you slap somebody, you punch somebody, ben kotom ben goro ben ish ben isha derech nitzayon, you know, in a quarrelsome fashion, hareza over below says shenemar. This pasuk in Parshas Kisei that we saw back in source 10, right? Because it's lo Yosef. If Bezdin is warned against overdoing it, giving too many lashes to a guy who sofa chote did an avera, then certainly not to do it to an innocent person. And then Allah Chabay is the Rambam adds based on what we had from our parsha, afilu hagbia yado achaveru osur. Even just to raise your hand against somebody is osur. Raise a rasha. That's the din. Now, what are the ramifications? Because you could say, well, you know, what do you need the whole limud for from, you know, from Pen Yosef, the Bezdin and so on? You're not allowed to raise your hand to strike somebody else and certainly not allowed to hit him. But again, there are differences. For example, in Hagos Maimonios, on that Rambam, in Perakei Vilchos Chol Amazik, in Aleph Amazik, in Os Aleph, 16, in Hagos Maimonios, he writes, he's posing a bunch of post convino canely grosso Russia. What's the big deal if a guy's called a Russia? So call him a Russia, right? No, because when you call the Russia, you're posula edus. There are ramifications. A person like that would not be accepted to testify. Also, she connect on Nishba Benotel. They don't accept Yeshua. If he comes to a court case, we'll make the other person take Yeshua. Again, the details aren't important right now. Ad she yosha marisho. Unless he does tshuva and so on, be kabel dino and so on. So anyway, that's the... and they should make announcements in the shul that he's called a Russia. So there are ramifications to being a Russia. Shulchan Paskins this way in Hilchos Eidos. Choshen Mishpat Simen Lamed Dalet Siv Dalet 17. Ramor writes, Hamagbia Yodol Chaver Lakosu Postula Eidos. I'm just pointing this out. The fact that we call him a Russia, because Moshe Rabbeinu said to the, one of the Jews who were fighting, he says, Lamed La Russia. So he's already called the Russia, even though he didn't hit him yet, but he's threatening to hit him. So we say even somebody who does any kind of gesture, a threatening gesture, is already called the Russia. So who cares? What are the ramifications? And that's what says in Shulchan Aruch. And we're right here in 17. It's called Eidus. Choshe Mishpat, Tzim and Lamedala, Tzim Dala. I mean, we are the Chaver Lakoso, Apostle Eidus. Yeah, only with Rabbanon. Okay, the Sma, the Mir Sinayim, who's one of the commentators on the side of the page here in the Shulchan Aruch, in Tzim and Lamedala. So called Zion, the Sma writes, Amagbiya Yodo Al Chaveru, Asmechu Akrod, based on his pasuk here in our sedra, or the Rosh Lama Sakareach and so on, he already called the Rosh by Haroma Siad, like we said, he quotes the Mar Sinai Daftun Ches, like Rashi says in our sedra. Now, in Sukkot and Ches, the Sma says, Posel Ezmed Rabbonim, Afo Pishu Issa Doraisa. He says, the Issa raising hand, that's a Doraisa. You make that important distinction. This derivation from our pasuk here that you raise against somebody else, you raise a hand violently against somebody else, if you're called a Rosh, that's an Issa Doraisa. But since there's no malchus for actually just raising hand, right? You didn't actually hit him, just threatening. There's no malchus. So then the psul of edus is a psul on a drabbanan level. I mean, deraisa is still kosher edus, okay? And yeah, so that's the with the smile. The Bira Groh also, the Lagon says, there in Choshen Mishpat, Siman Lamed Daled, Sukkot, and hey, 19, the Nikra Rosh, Omer LaRosh, and so on, but Mikol Malkom, Ein Nifsal, Man HaTorah, Kevin Shein B'Malchus. The only time you label the Rosh on a deraisa level that your apostle Eidus on a Doraisa level is if you violate an Isser that carries with it Malkus. Since just threatening somebody, raising your hand, while it's also Midoraisa, doesn't carry with it Malkus, so then if you're an apostle on a Drabana level, keep your Eger there in his commentary on that. Yeah, sorry, because I have a question. Yeah.
So this pasuk Rosh Lama Sakareyach is effectively the makor for saying that it's one of the 613 mitzvahs.
To raise your hand. Now, it's going just to raise your hand. Now, whether it counts on the list of the 613 mitzvahs, it's not clear, and that's a different discussion.
But you know, said that's
a mitzvah.
It's a deraisa. That's a
mitzvah. Right, but it doesn't have to be. That's a different question. Whether we count something separately, maybe it's part of the other lab. But I have to check. I don't believe that people count it as a separate mitzvah. Doesn't mean it's not deraisa. There are things that are deraisa which are not separate mitzvahs within the 613. They subsume them to something else. 613, I like to say, sometimes like a bookkeeping question, right? How do we categorize? But something can still be also deraisa. But that's what the... And that's why I pointed out the Sma there in top in source 18, it says Kotan Ches, and Simon Lamadal Choshemish, but says it's an Issa Doraisa. The psul from Eidos is on a Drabana level. And Kiva Eger there adds 20. He says, what if you have a, it's called the Hakar, Shein Rosh Shabbat Pruta. You know, sometimes you only get Malkus, you only get Malkus for hitting somebody if it caused a certain minimal amount of damage. What if it caused less? So he said, but you still get, if you actually struck him, you still, it's still possible on a Daraisa, on a Darabana level, not a Daraisa, because there's no Malkus. In later in Choshen Mishpat, the second to last chapter, the whole Choshen Mishpat, Simon Tov Chav. Actually, the Torah, Simon Tov Chav is the last Simon in the whole Torah. That's the one place with a little bit of deviation. The Choshen Mishpat ends with Simon Tov Chav Aleph, but it's in, when the Torah ends with Tov Chav, split a little bit in the Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, in Choshen Mishpat, Simon Tov Chav, Sif Aleph 21, it says, Osu Adam Hakos Chaveru, Vimiko, over beloved. Okay, if you actually hit the person, then you violate a law. Shinamar Pan Yosef. Vimikpita has all the like we said before. That's if you actually struck him, you actually hit him. Vimikpita Torah by cause was Shalom Kosa Yosef Risho Kavachom by cause Tadim. And then he writes, Merim Yad, if you just raise your hand again, so it appears in the Shulchan Aruch. You raise your hand against somebody else, Afal Pisho, he called you, even though you didn't hit him, Nikra Rosha. Okay, you still called the Rosha. The ramification being, this Postal Aedus, at least on a Darabana level. But it's a violation apparently on a Daraisa. And then at the end, we'll come back to this. There are more ads. You know, what about the meeting your wife and so on? And he says, there's a cherem. We'll come back to it. But then he writes, Yesh Om Desh Cherem. We saw the same Chasidim. Yesh Cherem Kadmoni Ba'odom Makal Achaber. There's a cherem against somebody who beats up other people. And Vitzarach Lahatirlo Kadeh Litzarfa Laminyan Asar. Part of a cherem is you wouldn't count the guy to a minion. That's a social pressure, right? Part of a cherem is you don't count them to a minion. You dissociate from him. So you'd have to have the cherem would have to be huto, would have to be nullified. So anyway, the that's a serious matter. The Sma there in some Tovchof and some Kotan Aleph notes that actually there's two different ways to learn it out from Pen Yosef. It's a technical detail. But if you look back at the Pasuk in Parshas Ki Tse in source 10, so it says, Arboim Yakeno Lo Yosef Pen Yosef. Right, Lo Yosef, comma, Pen Yosef. So when we have the Sma and Sukkot and Aleph, it says there's some who learn that Pen, I mean, the Gemara says that whenever we have the Lashon of Pen or Hishomer or Al, that's a Lo Sase. Okay, that's what it says in a number of places. Look in the second line today. He quotes from Erev and Daf Tzadivav and other places. Kol Mokom Shenemar Hishomer Pen Baal, Eno El Lo Sase. Sometimes the Torah doesn't present an Isser as don't do this. They'll say Hishomer, or Hishomer L'cha Pen, or Pen, you know, whatever you have those words, it means that effectively it's a Lo Sase. Okay, so that's how some learn it out, because it says here Pen Yosef. That means don't add. But the Rambam learned the way we said it before, that, you know, learned it from Lo Yosef. Right, the Rambam prefers, since you have the word Lo Yosef, and that's the Rambam, if you look back in the Chosov Lamazik, in Perek Hei Halacha Aleph, the Rambam quote doesn't quote Pen Yosef. He quotes the first half of the pasuk, Lo Yosef Lakos. So the Sma says the Rambam prefers that because that's a direct love. Lo Yo, don't do it. Hishomer, Pen, Al, is less direct. So the Rambam prefers it to learn from the direct source. This is other source, the Torah, the Sma says, learns it from Pen Yosef because Lo Yosef is really going on the Bezdin. That's going on the Bezdin. Okay, so different ways to learn it, but it adds up to the same thing that it's a violation. As a side point to Pisrei Tshuva, there in Choshen Mishpat, it's in Tov Chav, it's in Kotan Aleph 23, okay, raises the question, is it true in the Chassam Sofer, in Chedek Choshen Mishpat, it's in Kuf Pei Beis, Al Dvar Ish Ra Ma'alim Shehiko Be'egov Rosh Lebent Torah at Shok Dam, the guy beat somebody up, you know, the fight, and he actually drew blood, actually he got into a fight, every once in a while there are fights. I remember when I was a little kid, there was a fight in Shul, two adults got into a fight, and a fist fight in Shul, during Musaf. And I remember, I was a little kid, but what I remember about it was that, you know, all the kids in those days, there are not so many kids, the whole, six kids in the whole shul. Remember, the kids went to what, you know, they ran over it. I was a tool. And I remember getting out of my seat, and I still remember my father grabbing me by the collar. And he pulled me back, and he slammed my seat. And I remember I had a look on my face. I was about to say, well, but all the kids are going to watch, you know. And I remember my father had a look on his face, like, don't even say anything. You know, don't sit, you know, like don't start arguing with me. You're sitting right here. You know, he wouldn't let me go over. But anyway, so every once in a while, I don't think there was blood drawn. I don't know. But anyway, be that as it may, every once in a while you have a fight, and Chassam Sofer talks about it. So this guy, this ruffian, so to speak, was an ovil. Okay, he wanted down for the Amid in the shul. You know, he was a violent guy. So the stopik ashol in lano sacha b'meni heishmei rabbi kedushin. The person unofficially is in a cherem, maybe shouldn't answer his kaddish, shouldn't answer his kedusha. And so there's some discussion, you know, maybe cheirim, but it doesn't mean his brachas are no good. He's actual, you know, davening to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Anyway, if you're interested in that subject, you look in that Shuluch Sam Sofer, the Pesach Tshuva. He says at the end of the day, really, you shouldn't answer him, but we don't have that much authority today, and it would be a joke because the person is a dam for the oven. Anyway, unfortunately, we can't carry things out the way we should. I thought it was an interesting comment. Okay, but now we come to the following question, which is really what I entitled the shiur. Now that we have this background, I entitled the shiur Strike One, okay, play on words. Obviously, hitting somebody with permission. What if the victim says, it's okay, you can punch me? Rav Yehuda Unterman, who was the Rabbi Rashi in Eretz Yisrael, has a collection of tshuvas called Shevet Yehuda, which unfortunately I don't have on the sheets because it's not in the database, but he discussed, can a from Jew be a boxer, a prize fighter? Okay, basically telling somebody to, or a hockey player, I don't know, you're telling somebody, you're giving permission. I guess in hockey, they don't really have permission. But, you know, can you do that? Can you give a person permission? I think there's some fellow now who's sort of an Orthodox Jew or something, who's a fighter, or was it recently? No, Yuri something, like that. I don't know. Anyway, be that as it may, so that's the question. What if a person says, you know, okay, I'm basically, I'm okay, you can hit me, it's okay. You know, and sometimes you have, you know, even in a playful manner, you have, especially when I've worked in Shiva high schools for many years. You know, high school boys always punching each other and pushing, you know, that's what they do. You know, they slam them. I was just in Eretz Yisrael, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So I have a nephew learning there, and he's in a certain yeshiva. And the day we left, he got a concussion. What happened? He was sitting by his table. Another kid came over and knipped him and pinched his cheeks. And he jerked his head back and he banged it against the beam. And he passed out. You know, I mean, he's okay, Baruch Hashem. But, you know, so that's what kids do. You know, I mean, most adults don't find that so funny. But high school kids find it a riot to be punching each other. And so it's understood. That's what they call it, horseplay, you know, locker room horseplay, whatever. Okay, so that's a question. So there is a Mishnah in Baba, again, in Baba, this is in Baba Kama, Tzadi Beis, on Ahav 24. Mishnah says, Ha'omer Samei Esena. It's okay, you can put my eye out. You blind me. Katei Es Yadi. You can, cut off my hand. The Shabbos, I'll break my leg. Says the Mishnah, nonetheless, Chayev. Chayev. Okay, the person who does it, he still has Chayev, whatever he's Chayev, still has to pay. Amenas Liftor. Even if you say, no, but you can be, I'll set up a condition, you'll be Potter. It's still Chayev. But, Kra Es Susi. But if you tell the guy, you can rip my shirt, it's okay, I don't mind. All right. Or Shaber is Kadi, you can break my barrel, come other property, we call property then. And if you do it, you're chayav, but you say Amanas Liftor, if you do it on the condition, say you specify the condition, then you'd be putter. Usually if I rip something, I break something, you would have to pay. Right? I mean that's called property damage. Right? So if I cause damage to you or whatever, I break something yours, I have to pay you. But if you set up the condition in advance, you don't have to. So Rashi sends you to the Gemara. The Gemara is on Sadi Gimel of Adaf 26. And various details. The Gemara says, "Amar Samatini Tzeh, Amar Rav Asi Bar Chama Rava, Maishal Reisha, Maishal Seifa. Why is there a difference between the beginning and the end? You know, the personal damage, the physical damage, as opposed to property damage. So first they say, well, Reisha Fisha, Amar Reisha Fisha, Ain Adam Mocha Roshe Ivarim. You can't be Mocha like we said before from the story, you know, from Rav Zevin with the Shalak story. You can't be Mocha Roshe Ivarim means, you know, your limbs and." That may refer only to certain specific limbs, you know, maybe other limbs are different because they break my pinky. We'll see. But the Gemara there says, what do you mean? What do you mean? But there's pain. You can't be mochal in pain either. So Rabbi Yochanan says, and there's a whole discussion in the Gemara what this means. Sometimes when a person says no, it really means yes. And sometimes yes, you say no. Okay. Look in Rashi. All right, 27, comments that he came with Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Adam Mochel Alakol. Masnisi Labdom Alanechba Alachova Kateis Alamanashe Te Potter. It's not the one statement. Look back in the mission. It was when it says Almanas Liftor, that was, you'll be Potter. That wasn't part of the statement of the person saying, you can do X, Y, and Z and you'll be Potter. That was the statement of the so called aggressor asking. Almanas Liftor, look at Rashi, okay? Rashi's Komar, Emily Atal, Manasseh, you Potter, you know, well, we Potter, and the guy says, yeah. So sometimes, yeah, like in English also, oh, yeah, sure. Well, that means no, right? I mean, you know, it's sarcastic, right? And sometimes we say something in a certain way, and say, can you do this? Can I do this? Oh, yeah, sure you can do it. Of course you can't do it, right? We have such expressions in English also, right? Or you say, nah, I mean, really, you could do it, right? So, that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay, that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. and the Gemara has an example of it. So that's what's going on here. Tosis there, Rabbi Kama. So again, it may depend a little bit, bottom line, for our purpose, it may depend on the way the person expressed it. Okay, can you ever say that it's okay? Or the Gemara is saying can never say that it's okay. So again, it's a little bit, it's a little bit unclear from the Gemara. I mean, I think that's unclear, but again, the Tosis there, Rabbi Kama said, Gimel Avdil Masum Yochanan, it explains the same thing. Sometimes explains the difference between Niske Gufo and Mamona. Rashi said it also, because when it comes to property damage, there's more of a likelihood that the guy really means it. When it comes to physical damage, physical pain, the stomach, he doesn't mean it. Right? When he says yeah, the stomach being sarcastic, the average person. When it comes to property damage, sometimes the person doesn't care. Right? You're horsing around, they rip the shirt, that doesn't care, it's a t-shirt, whatever, right? So when it comes to property damage, so we can perhaps take the person, we can perhaps take the person more literally. And when it comes to physical damage, probably the stomach, he meant, he didn't mean it. He didn't mean it literally. Like he meant that you can't do it. So that's a little bit of a, that's a little bit of a question. If you look in the Rambam, I mean, not a question. And the Gemara says, really, it seems to say that you can't do it. But what's left open is, what if the guy really did specify, really said, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm go ahead. I'm not going to charge you. You won't have to pay me. The Gemara doesn't exactly deal with that. If you look in the Rambam writes in Perek Hey of Hilchos Chol HaMazik, same Perek in Malach Yud Aleph 29. He writes, "For Od Yesh Hefresh Bein Niske Gufal Niske Mamono." Sha'omer L'Chaver Samei Einu Kateis Yadi Amanasha To Potter Harei Zechay B'Chamish Advarim. You have to pay the famous five Chamish Advarim: Nezek Tzar, Ripu Sheves, and Boshes. Meaning, for our purposes, you have to pay his medical bills. You have to pay for loss of time of work. You have to assess his pain. Other things. Okay, so you have to pay. Shadover Yadua, says the Rambam, She'ein Adam Rotsu B'Kat. You know that the person didn't really mean that it's okay to do it to him. Okay, but if he didn't say, then you're chayav. The Shulchan Aruch has this, I said before, the last, very last siman, the Shulchan Aruch, the whole Shulchan Aruch is Choshev Mishpat siman Tov Chaf Aleph. If you look in 30, Tov Chaf Aleph in Sif Yud Beis 30, Homer Lachaveru Kateis Yadi Osamis Ein and so on, or he's a chayav Chamishah, like Chamishah Dorah, like the Rambam says, he doesn't really want it. But now look what the Rambam writes. The Yesh Omrim, 30, there's a Ramah in Siman Tov Chaf Aleph Sif Yud Beis, very, very end of the whole Shulchan Aruch. The Yesh Omrim, the Omalo Beferush Almanas Liftor Potter. Okay, if he actually specified, and you can't say he didn't really mean it, he was being sarcastic and so on, then you're Taka Potter. He didn't say it straight out, just that seemed to be the indication. So then, Anodarn Dvar Shalo Potter. To go on, he said it in a sarcastic way and so on. So you have this Yesh Omer, at least in the Ramah, that if a guy actually said, you can do this to me and you won't have to pay me. It's a strange case, but that apparently that works. The Sma, again, I'm there in Siman Tov Chaf Aleph 31. So you caught in Chaf Beis. He says that it's not so clear. Okay. He says again, there are different opinions. He says this, he mentions, you look at the last line here, the Ir Shushan. Okay. Well, what is Ir Shushan? Ir Shushan, the Levush, the Reb Mordechai Yaffe wrote a sefer like in Order of the Shulchan Aruch and so on, one of the early Achronim Levush. So he named his sefer, his name is Mordechai, Reb Mordechai Yaffe. So he named the sefer the Levush because the pasuk says Mordechai Yotza Nifle Melech. It's one of the pasukim we say out loud, right? Mordechai Yotza Nifle Melech, Levush Malchus Chelas Vachur. So he took that pasuk. His name was Mordechai. So he took that pasuk. Each one of his farm, he called something else from that pasuk. Says Levush Malchus. Says also Levush Ir Shushan. That's the one on Choshev Mishpat. So he says maybe there's a difference between Rosh Eivarim of certain limbs and not other limbs. Anyway, bottom line is there do seem to be some cases where one is permitted. Rather you can go ahead to patur the person. If he specifically says, it's not sarcastic, it simply says that we potter. However, the question is, one second, you can potter the guy, the victim, so to speak, can potter, can be mochel, can exempt the other person from payment of damages. But does that mean that it's mutter for the guy to do it? It's maybe enochanami. Okay, in a certain circumstance, you can potter him and he won't have to pay any damages, but it's still usher from the Torah level. The Torah, if the Torah prohibits hitting and so on, that the so-called victim doesn't have the right to be matir because it's in the Torah. He can say, you don't have to pay me monetary damages. That may, and that's so clear, but at least in some cases, if he specified exactly, that may be according to some poskim, you can waive. But can you waive and tell the guy has the right to do it halachically? Perhaps not. Okay, that's not so pashut. Okay, now there is a passage in another Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Tes Amarav Balei Pei, verse 32. It says, Hamisnabe b'shem avarazor, certain types of things relating to Navi. So certain Navi, Hamisnabe b'shem avarazor, ki'o Navi habal, certain things that are not allowed to do with regard to a Navi, so he can't prophesy in the name of other gods. Hakovish is Nevuah, so he can't withhold his Nevuah. Kigon Yonah ben Amitah, we know that's from Kippur, right? Yonah didn't want to deliver the message Hashem told him to deliver, so he ran away, etc. Or, but our purpose is now, Hamavater al Divrei Navi, Kigon Chavri Demicha. If you disregard what a Navi said, it's also something that's terrible. And it quotes a Pasuk in Malachim al Per Kof, Sukim Lamed Hey and Lamed Rav, Chavrai or Chavri Demicha. The associates of Micha. Rashi quotes the pasuk. What does it mean? Malach Malach Perchas Perchof pasuk Lamed Hey 34. The Ish Echad Bnei Anavim, one of the Bnei Anavim, and Rashi there in Sanhedrin Pei Tes and Bei Dil Mas Chavrei the Micha 33 says this was Michayu Ben Yimla, and he was at the time of Achav the king, and he made Navu about him and so on, and it said Hakeni No, he told somebody hit me. By Ma'ena Ishlach goes on. The person refused to do it. The person refused to do it. And so, Malachim Aleph Perakov Pasuk Lamed Vav 34. By Yomelo Yana Shalosh Shamat Bekol Hashem. Hincha Holech Meitiv Hikra Arye Veelech Meitzav Mitzvah Arye Veyakev. You didn't listen. To I was speaking the name of Hashem, and Navi told Hashem said you got to do it. You didn't do it, so the person got punished, attacked by a lion, whatever. The bottom line is there. Also, it seems that now, so that story can be understood in one of two ways. Even that story perhaps can be understood to teach that well, no, you're allowed. You're allowed not only to waive any monetary payment to do, but you're also allowed to tell the person it's mutter. On the other hand, you could say that was an exceptional case. It was a Novi speaking in the name of Hashem. You can't extrapolate from there to other cases. So we have different shittas in the Mishnah and Rachon about this question. Again, it's perhaps possible to say that the victim can waive whatever money, whatever financial restitution is due to him, but it doesn't mean they can make it mutter. So that's the discussion. So you look in the Rivash, his Chuvas and Rivash, it's in a tough pay, dollar 35. So he says, first of all, even about the money, right? That goes back and forth. It's a little bit of a tumult in the Gemara. Can you waive that? We saw it. Depends how it was phrased and so on. So the Gemara discusses whether you can even waive the monetary payment. And even though the Gemara says that if it can't be understood, and not as a direct thing or a sarcastic thing and so on, says the Rivash on the third line there, Mikol Makom, Ze Eino Elin Petur Hamama, Bechiyuvo Bishiko Ptoyu. That's only regarding the monetary compensations due. Avos Yuchal HaKosel of Fatzom Lechatchila, that you can beat him or harm him Lechatchila, Belav or Belav, Shamake Chaber, I'm violating a law of Torah, right? From our Bahim Lekenel Yosef, there are Shushin also, Ze Havadai Lo Efsher. Rivash says nothing doing. Rivash says the Torah says you're not allowed to hit another person. Okay, so the victim can waive monetary payment. He can't tell you that something the Torah says is also his mutter. And that's how the Chavetz Chaim also writes in the Chuvas in Kuf Samach Gimel 36. He says, V'chein kol ha-sugya, the kras tusi shaberes kad, the other relying to lean chiyuv uptur de tashlumen mairi. That's only talking about making monetary compensation. We call mokom usher who, still usher. I was going to say, Moshom ha-davadomer, charging interest, ribbis. And the Torah says, I'll charge you. But I'll agree with you. I'll agree to pay you more. Okay, I'm in agreement. Okay, you want to lend me $1 million? I got to pay you back $1.1 million. I agree. It's still usher. So in terms of different realms of law, you can say that a person can waive or agree to certain monetary things, but the Torah will still say that it's usher. So that's how the Rivash HaChavetz Chaim, that's what they say over here. So similarly, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe, the first of Babachi Rebbe, Balatanya, Choshe Mishpat Hilchos Niske Gufa Nefesh Gnayim Sif Dalet, 37. And it goes back to what we said now from Rav Zevin with the Shiloh case. Ki ein lo adam reshus al gufo klau. It's not up to him. La koso velo levai shavelo letzaro b'shum tzar. Afilu b'niyah said, you're not allowed to authorize a person to harm you or to even to cause you any type of pain or anguish unless he says you're doing it derech tshuva. Some people will fast for tshuva reasons and so on and so forth. But other than that, he said you're not allowed to do it. Okay, and therefore it's not up to you. There's a famous story about the Chofetz Chaim. Okay, the Chofetz Chaim was a lot of stories on trains, right? So the Chofetz Chaim was once on a train, and another Jew got onto the train and sat next to him and didn't recognize that it was the Chofetz Chaim, didn't know who it was. So I think maybe it was a new rob at that time, whatever it is. So the other person was sitting next to him, and he asked him, where are you going? You know, they strike up a conversation, two Jews. Where are you going? I'm going to Radin. Almost, I'm going to Radin. So the other person says, oh, do you know the great Chofetz Chaim? Do you know the Mishra Merikon, the tzaddik and the posik of our door? Do you know him? And so after that whole introduction, Chofetz Chaim didn't want to say, yep, that's me. So he just said, yeah. So the guy is, well, tell me, you know, is he really such a tzaddik like everybody says? You know, is it really true? So Chofetz Chaim, I don't think he's such a tzaddik, you know. Is he really such a great Talmud Chacham? Said, he's not such a great Talmud Chacham. To the point that the other guy took offense and he said, what? How dare you speak like that about the Chofetz Chaim? You're minimizing his covering. I got angry. And the story ends, he goes, the train pulls in to Radin, and they go to the yeshiva, the Daf Mincha. So the person walked in, he looks in the front, and he realizes that was sitting in the front of the Yeshiva-based Medrash, he realized that was the Chofetz Chaim. So he went up to him afterwards, and he said, I'm so sorry, I didn't know it was you. So the Chofetz Chaim said, you taught me an important lesson. He says, you know, I wrote this farm about Lashon Hara, Shmir Saloshon. I left out one chapter. You're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara about yourself either. Right? I forgot to include that. You can't talk Lashon Hara about yourself. I heard the Rav Soloveitchik said, you don't need the story from the Chofetz Chaim. It's a Mishnah in Baba Kama. This Mishnah, Chovot, even Ba'atzmo is also. Anyway, that's what Shulchan Aruch Rav says here. Also, so you can't waive it. It's an issue. Then he talks about it, hitting your children for chinuch purposes or to teach them Derech Eretz. That's a little bit of a different story. Fine. But now that's so the Rivash and the Chavos Yair and the Shulchan Aruch Rav and other posts can all say that maybe that the victim can waive whatever financial compensation he's doing, but he cannot go ahead and tell you that something the Torah says also is now mutter. However, none of them agrees with that. Okay, 38, Shuvas Maral Bach, in the Kunshan Smith, Maral Bach was of Levi Ibn Chaviv. Some of you may know the story that in the 1500s, in the time of the Beis Yosef, Reb Yosef Karo, there was an attempt to reinstitute smicha, I tell people that I have to admit that I don't have smicha. I don't have the real smicha today. Okay, I have a smicha with Yeshiva Resi, but I don't have the real smicha. Why? Because the real smicha was an unbroken chain going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so I don't have that. I'm good company because nobody else has it either. So think of whoever you like. You know, I mean, Rav Salvation didn't have it either. Neither did the Vilna Gaon, neither did the Rambam. Okay, so we're in good company. We don't have the real smicha today. But there was a way to sort of restart the chain based on the Rambam, but not for right now. And there was a whole discussion, Marie Beirav and others, Maral Bach, this is the Chachmei Tzfas, they wanted to reintroduce the smicha and did. But others disagreed. Amar Abach has a whole tshuva called the Kuntra Smicha at the end of his tshuva, many pages. Anyway, one of the things he discusses here, because one of the jobs of a business when you have smicha is you can talk to administer makas. Anyway, he talks about this. So he says that no, it is mutter not only to release the person from any monetary damages, but actually to to tell him he's allowed to do it. And his raya is, and I'm going to read the whole thing now, but just look at the end. His raya is a diuk in the Rambam. I went over quickly before, but now I'll say it a little more carefully. Look back in the Rambam in source 15, Hilchos Chovel Amazik, Perek Hey, Halacha Aleph. We have 15, but I'll read it. Also, the Adam Lachvol Bein Ba'atzma Bein Chaveru Good. The Lord Chovel Vad Ela Kola Maka Adam Koshim Yisrael Bein Katam Bein Gadol Bein Ish Bein Isha Derech Nitzayon. In a manner of fighting, and some of the gears of Derech Nitzayon in a derogatory, or in other words, when then you're over below Saseh. When do you violate the laws? I said, if you're hitting the person in the form of a quarrel, a fight, nitzayon, that goes back to our pasuk here in Parsha Shmos, the word nitzayon, the language used in Shmos Park Beis Pasuk Gimel, source one. Nitzim, the fighting. You have later by Korach, Asher Hitzu, Moshe Balas Korach, and so on. So that word means fighting. So the Maral Bach derives, look at the last couple of lines. He writes, I don't see it explicit, but it's a remez, because the Rambam writes, Kalamaka Adam Kosher Derech Nitzayon Hareza Over. Mashma De'ena Over Ela Derech Nitzayon. So for the boxing match or people horsing around, they're doing it as a form of horseplay or whatever it is. That's not Derech Nitzayon. Minchas Chinuch says that as well in Parashat Mishpatim, Mitzum Mem Ches, in Oz Gimel. Minchas Chinuch also says, he says, in 39, זה שחיב התורה בהיקה אביב אין, because also another issue to hit your parents and so on, או בחבר, או דרך חבר, that's היינו דווקא בלא רשוס, היא נעתו מהמנת, זאת אומרת, איסר, איסר is only דווקא שלא ברשוס. אם אביב אם הוא אומנו שיקים, או יקל להם, או חברו, okay, אינו עובר בלעב זה, because, and same thing, he said it's only אוסר, when you do it דרך ניציון, so that's the מנחס סינך agrees. The Beis Yitzchak and his Chuvus disagrees with this, but he quotes the Torah Yevon. I couldn't find the Torah Yevon inside that he says it. But the Chuvus Beis Yitzchak are there, Chelek Aleph, from Kuf Nun Tes, of Zion, also Zion, he writes in 40, Ba'mash nisvakachti imagon bal Torah Yevon. I had a debate with Torah Yevon. Im yochol limcho chavoso liftor me iser. Can you even be mochel to pata the guy from the iser, not just to pata from the monetary payment? So I thought you can't, but the Torah Yevon says you did. So anyway, bottom line, it's a machlokes, whether you're allowed to or not. I just printed the next couple of sources, some Chuvas and Rosh Feinstein, and this relate to this issue, so we'll look at them briefly. 41 is Chuvas Igris Moshe, Chelek Hoshe Mishpat, Chelek Bey, Simon Samach Vog. I mentioned before, you're not allowed to do anything to harm yourself, right? So Moshe was asked the following question by a young lady, 41. In Nara Muteris Liapos Atma, Deni Tuach Shu Chavala Begufa. Can you have what we call today cosmetic surgery? Now, when you have this, let's say you have a nose job, whatever, so they break your nose first, right? And then reset it or whatever. Okay, other types of cosmetic surgery require incisions and whatever else people do. So this, you know, was written in 1964, Chafada Tavshin Chavdalin. Nishalti Benara, the young lady, wrote to Liapos, as one of beauty herself by herself because she wasn't getting Shidduchim or whatever, right? She wanted to make herself look more attractive. And now the doctors have a way that they'll do whatever they do to the body, but it is an incision, it is a surgical procedure, or breaking things or drawing blood or whatever. Is it allowed or not? Okay? Or maybe it's Chovo Ba'atzmo. I mean, it goes without saying that if it's for medical reasons, health reasons, of course you can do it. I mean, any surgery is also Chovo Ba'guf. Okay, you take your appendix out or hearts or whatever they do it. That's of course that's for medical need. Okay, here there was no medical need. She just was she didn't like the way she looked. She wanted to have whatever cosmetic surgery was. So therefore, Moshe writes, he quotes this Rambam, and he said it looks like the whole iser is iser kol adam kashmir hu shumaka derech nitzayon, or the other gears of derech nitzayon. And therefore, here it's not being done, as a destructive act. It's being done as a constructive act. He said, perhaps all Israel doesn't even apply here. And then he brings a raya from that story with Micha, with the Navi. Okay. He says that it would have been mutter, the only thing is, he said it was Derech, since he said it was Dvar Hashem, right? And then it wasn't Derech Nitzayon, and that's why the guy should have listened to him. Right? Anyway, so Moshe says in Lesson 41, Lachain Yerim, he says, Sheesh Lahatir Lanar Liapos Atma. He allows this cosmetic surgery. Afshu Ayde Chavola, Kevin Chain Derech Nitzion Ubizon, Ela Adrab, the Tova Sos. So that touched on this issue. He's also a die from that Rambam. In a different Chuba, Orachayim Chele Gimel Simon Ayan Ches, 42, more directly our issue, right? Ubenosan Rishus Lachaber Lachos. That's more our case, right? Someone gave permission to hit him. Okay, do you still violate the law? Okay, and this, it's interesting here, he doesn't stress the Derech Nitzayon issue, okay, but rather discusses what the nature of the hitting is. Okay, is it like a big Kabbalah? I mean, he does mention Nitzayon later, but he mentions a different angle. He said if it's real damage, you're really hurting the person, then at the end of the day, that's Derech Nitzayon. Okay, a guy walks up, really punches someone, like, I was just fooling around. Fooling around, you punch me in the face, right? I mean, so the Ramosha over there says that sometimes a person not makbid, again, what do you call this? High five, you slap a guy in the rear end, you pat a guy on the back, good to see you, you slap the guy in the back, Okay, so that's minimal. So that Ramosha says would be allowed. Okay, he also brings up the Micha issue in a different direction. Another tshuva, 43, Igris Moshe, or Dechele Gimel Simon Lamed Vog. Okay, as a different situation, I'll say it outside, a person had some kind of a medical issue, but it wasn't, okay, or he deals with, it wasn't life-threatening, but he deals with whatever wasn't life-threatening, but the person's extremely uncomfortable. The person had some kind of a problem, a urinary tract type of problem, whatever it was, and they could fix it, but the problem is the operation itself is very dangerous. Could die on the operating table. So now, if the person needs open heart surgery, he's going to die. So then it's true there's a risk. He's going to die in their operating table. He's going to die anyway. But here, the guy could live. It wasn't that type of a danger, but it's going to be very uncomfortable for him. Okay, he could live another bunch of years, but it's going to, and the operating table is going to die right away, possibly, right? It's a very risky procedure. So he says, again, you consult the doctors and so on. But the question is, Would that, can a person subject himself in that, to that? Can a Jewish doctor do, from doctor do that? So Rav Moshe also says, midayik derech nitzayon. Even though you're treating the person in a certain danger, you're not doing it. You're not cutting him open as a derech nitzayon, as a fight. You're doing it to ultimately help him get relief from this pain. And finally, the other relevant tshuva here, in Choser Mishpach, Chelek Aleph, Siman Kuf Gimel, this is talking about donating blood. Apparently in some places, I guess maybe sometimes they do it also, there's a blood shortage. Now we're not talking about whether it was someone who needed it right now. Once in a while you get a message, they need type such and such blood because somebody's being operated on right away. Right? We hear these things from time to time. That's a different story. That's saving a life. But sometimes you donate blood and it's going to sit in the blood bank. We don't even know if they're going to use it or not. Sometimes there are shortages, we know, but that's not the case he's talking about. He says, it's they'll pay you $25 to give blood. Sometimes they do that in some place. They give you money to donate blood. Okay, can a person do that for money? Okay, can that's what the Moshe is talking about over here. Again, we're not talking about where the person needed, that the blood was needed to save a life. Then it's a matter. Okay, anyway, he says, so on one hand, you could say that it's also. On the other hand, you could say, well, you're not doing it derech chaval or derech nitzel. Then he goes into the fact that in the old days, he used to bloodlet. They thought it was a medicinal benefit. That's another issue. Anyway, these are issues that come around this topic, and there are a number of people, including Moshe, a couple of tshuvas, who say that the only issur in terms of chavol is when it's done derech nitzayon or derech mizayon. Okay, now again, not everybody agrees with that because, again, how do you read that Rambam? This is Rav Salvechik pointed out an article in the Masorah Journal about it, but he says it's a little hard to say the Rambam meant that literally because he also speaks there about. He also speaks about not harming yourself. Okay, when you're not harming yourself, you're not having a fight with yourself, right? I mean, so it sounds like it's also all together, no matter what. So they feel that perhaps, what did the Rambam mean by derech nitzayon? He was saying only on, it may make a difference between you actually inflict injury, okay? That's no matter what, that's not allowed. And as opposed to hitting, maybe in a non-injurious manner, okay, hitting, perhaps there's more room to be made if it's just not causing damage. Maybe derech nitzayon is only when it comes to hitting, but if you're causing more physical damage, perhaps not that way. Anyway, that's a detail. The last couple of sources I printed have to do with wife beating, okay, which is certainly not allowed. The Marami Rutenberg has a tshuva. In the source 45, Tshuva's Marami Rutenberg, Defus Prague, Simon Pei Aleph. Okay, so he says that, Nirali kol ben bris chayav l'chabit is ishto yosu megufo. You have to honor your wife more than your own body, right? You're not allowed to do it, yosu megufo. Okay, so if you're not allowed to harm your own body, you're not allowed to harm her for sure. Okay, and he writes that you're chayav kovod and so on for a woman, and he writes makas chavero. There's some discussion about makas chavero, but he says third line of 45. The chavero ain't a chayav bichvodo. At the end of the day, you're not chayav to show to after lechel kamoch, etc. But there's no specific chiyuv to honor your friend, right? To honor one's rebbe or one's parents, but stam a person is still an incident of hit. So certainly, b'ishto chayav bichvodo. The derech hagoyim b'kach, he said, that's a non-Jewish practice, to beat their wives. Chalila b'chalila, the shum ben bris ma'aso zos. Ose, yesh la'achrimo, uladoso, la'alkoso, la'oncho, it's a whole, all these verbs, put him in cherem, put him in nidoy, and punish him physically, and other types of punishment, chom in a ridoy, and he says, even like the case of the Gemara of Huni, chop his hand off, okay? And it's a special thing, because we have to teach people that this is absolutely not allowed. Okay, so, anyway, that's what he mentioned there. The only thing is, I do want to point out the Shumas Hadeshin says in the Siman Reish Yud Ches in the Tshuva, if the woman acts in a certain way, she's constantly cursing him and other things, and it goes by the way both directions. I suppose you need to restrain the person. You want to, sometimes a person is going to be angry. You grab him and you hold him back from jumping or from breaking things or whatever. So he says in such a case, maybe it would be allowed, but. Again, not regularly to beat her. Okay, the Ramah in his commentary on Mordechai in Ksubas, the fifth paragraph is Kuf Pei Vav. Okay, he writes also. Okay, Abal Sherogil Lahakos Ishto Ibikshu and Shalolakos. He says Vaod Lo Rotz Lafticho Shalolakoso. And he says You know, again, he talks about such a case, and he also says that it's absolutely not allowed, and he quotes it from, again, similar to that Maharam Rutenberg. So we generally do not permit such behavior. Okay. Now, we do allow, we saw earlier, to go back to the Rav Balatanya in source 37. In Ilchus Niske, Koshe Mishpat, Ilchus Niske, Gufa Nefesh, Vidinayim, on Sivdala, he says, Chein Mutu Lahakos Barabakanim, carefully, after you can sometimes discipline a child, okay, for chinuch purpose, even if it's not chinuch Torah mitzvahs, but kedal hadrichim b'derech eretz. Sometimes children need to be disciplined for derech eretz purposes, and it's allowed because hol miskaven l'tov osam, and that's your job. Okay, so you know, and the children don't listen, and they're misbehaving and so on. They're not behaving in a kavodika fashion. So it may use it as a last resort, but it certainly it can be allowed under certain circumstances. So that's how the Yam Shel Shlomo writes also in Bavakama Paragimel in Siman Tes 48. Shemut al kosa dvar tochocha. Sometimes you can hit somebody else for you know to teach a lesson, but again, and it would not refer to most ordinary circumstances. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Nundal at Siman Gimel. But more right, Yesh Hamakel Leishto Avera Hibiyada. It's a great Avera. Kemake Chavera Imrogu B'Kach Yesh Be'ad Bezel Yasu. All the good things you do, you get rid of to make a person not be able to hit, you know, his wife. And then in the Pele Yoetz, Encyclopedia on Shava topics, the entry on Hakoa 50 says V'chein Roy L'Chol Manhag Arm Liyasers Anshe Zroa. People have to keep people under control. Okay. People beat their wives and so on. It's up to the community to set up a way to keep people from beating others, and certainly to keep people from beating their wives. Okay, this is something that should not be tolerated in the Jewish community. The last source that I printed is that a person has to respect his wife. Gemara says, 51 Tanur Rabbanan Oiv is Ishto Kegufo, Mechab Deyosi Megufo. Right, Ramadrik Bonar Rosu Yekrov, Masiyan Samach Kupirka, all of our customers, Yudatik Ishalom Alecha. That's a pasuk E of Parak Hay, pasuk of Dalit. Yadato kishon alecho v'kadato nofno v'lo sechto. You get all kinds of brachas and so on. And again, a person, if a person beats his wife, he's excommunicated and so on. And again, when talking about the children is a different story. But I do want to mention the last thing. It's 54. The Rambam Hilchos Ishus Parak Tezvav Alocha Yutez. V'chein tzivu chachamim shi'a odam mechabed es ishto yosem egufo. It goes back to what I said before. There's a special din with the wife to mechabit her and love him like you love yourself, love her like you love yourself. If you have money, you should spend the money on her. In other words, if a person you have to decide whether you know you should buy yourself a new pair of shoes or you should buy your wife a new pair of shoes. Buy your wife a new pair of shoes. All right, maybe if she already has 50 pairs of shoes, you only have one. So maybe that would be different, but you have to look at each case by itself. But again, the Rambam ends below Yatil Ema Yisera. Okay, don't, and it's true in the household, don't be a person who, you know, is about to aim his hair, you impose fear and intimidate people and so on. Again, don't talk with anger. And that's a good idea in general. A person has to control himself, self-control, okay? And certainly not that we saw, you know, you beat other people, you put the cherem and so on, you call the Russia. That's something to be avoided. Maybe under certain circumstances to be allowed, you know, if the person is mochel, but even that we saw not everyone agrees. And some say you're not allowed to be mochel on that. Again, that we saw as a machlokas, because at the end of the day, it's not your body and the violation of the Torah. The best thing is to avoid this type of behavior. Okay, we'll stop over here. Wish everybody a gute Woche.